You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to Stories of the Day, straight from sunny California. Here's hoping that you've had a good start to the week. I certainly have. Let's find out all the big stories that took place in India and across the world right here on Stories of the Day. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
Let's start with some very big news. According to a report from the Indian Express, LIC might be on the government's radar for potential public listing as the government pushes for disinvestment in state-run firms and an asset monetization program this fiscal. This dilution is likely to happen with the sale of a small tranche through an IPO, followed by a further reduction in the government's holdings. The first round of IPO will likely fetch a huge premium due to LIC's small equity base. The process is in the early stage with discussions held within the government, according to the sources Indian Express spoke to. LIC, as we know, is the largest financial institution in the country and could easily become the country's top listed company if its shares get listed on the stock exchanges. They will rank number one in market valuation, beating current leaders like Reliance Industries and Tata Consultancy Services. The LIC's financials, as cited in the report, will ensure this premium valuation. On a capital base of 5 crore rupees, LIC last reported a valuation surplus or profit of 48,436 crore rupees for FY 2018 and assets under management of 31.11 lakh crore rupees. Shares of Vodafone Idea today slumped 26% to below 7 rupees per share after the company reported weak performance for the June quarter. The 4% sequential fall in revenues came as a huge negative surprise, as analysts were expecting flat revenues compared to the March quarter. Introduction of minimum recharge plans for prepaid customers was expected to help the company arrest the decline in its revenue. But as it turns out, customers are unlikely to continue with the new recharge cycles. Furthermore, with competition persisting with low tariffs, the reset to lower-priced postpaid plans continues, hurting revenues more. Reliance Jio is obviously engaged in a tariff war with both Bharti Airtel and Vodafone Idea, and it is showing Jefferies is fearing that Vodafone Idea may continue to lose subscribers. The company continues to extract merger benefits, though. Thanks to synergies, the company lowered its operating expenses by 1,480 crore rupees in the last quarter. On an annualized basis, this is about 70% of the targeted operating expenses synergy benefits, up from 60% in the March quarter. But revenue deceleration and loss in subscriber base mean synergy benefits are not exactly helping all that much. Vodafone Idea's earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization fell 22% on an adjusted basis compared to the March quarter. As a result of this, cash burn at Vodafone after accounting for interest payments and capex continues at very high levels. Some earnings news now. Dr. Reddy's Laboratories today reported a net profit of 662.8 crore rupees in the quarter ended June, a jump of 45% on a year-on-year basis, led by a one-time gain. The net profit increase is due to a one-off receipt of 350 crore rupees from Celgene, pursuant to settlement agreement related to Revlimid brand capsules in Canada. Revenues grew 3% year-on-year at 3,483.4 crore rupees. Global generics revenue, which contributed a little over 80% to total income, grew 8% to 3,298.2 crore rupees. North America, which is largely the US generics business, grew 3% at 1,632.2 crore rupees. The country's largest bank, State Bank of India, has cut interest rates on deposits across various tenors. Interest rates on fixed deposits from 45 days to 10 years has been cut sharply. The bank cited surplus liquidity and falling interest rate scenario for the cut in these rates. Interest rates on fixed deposits maturing between 10 to 45 days has been reduced by 75 basis points to 5% from 5.75%. For time deposits with tenors between 46 days and up to 179 days, the rate is now down at 5.75% from 6.25% earlier. Fixed deposits with maturity between 180 and 210 days will now get an interest of 6.25%, which is 10 basis points lower than earlier. SBI has slashed the interest rate on short-term deposits ranging from 211 days to less than a year to 6.25%. It used to be 6.4% earlier. Midterm deposits from 1 year to less than 2 years will now get 20 basis points lower interest rate at 6.8%. And for time deposits with longer tenors, a reduction of 20 basis points or 0.2% and in the retail segment and 35 basis points in the bulk segment. It has also cut rates on bulk deposits of 2 crore rupees and above. These revised rates will be effective starting the 1st of August. There's a crisis brewing in the Indian auto sector, and that is precisely the topic of our Digging Deeper podcast today. And now, Bajaj Auto Chairman Rahul Bajaj has criticized the center's lack of effort towards arresting falling demand and boosting private investments. He was, of course, speaking at 2 shareholders at the company's 12th annual general meeting. The 81-year-old billionaire businessman did not mince words while highlighting the challenges faced by the auto industry. Bajaj went on to say, and I quote, "The government may or may not be saying this, but there are clear-cut markings from the IMF and World Bank which show a decrease in growth in the last 3 to 4 years. Like any government, they would like to show a happy face, but reality is reality." Unquote. Just for context, several automakers like Maruti Suzuki, Tata Motors, Honda Cars India, Mahindra & Mahindra, Renault Nissan, Škoda, Ashok Leyland have all undertaken production holidays to cut back on output. Despite this, inventory levels at warehouses and with dealers remain high, especially for two-wheelers and commercial vehicles. According to data shared by SIAM, which is the Society of Indian Automobile Manufacturers, two-wheelers recorded a fall of nearly 12% in sales to 5.01 million units during quarter one as compared to 5.67 million units sold in the same period last year. Commercial vehicles recorded a fall of nearly 10% in sales during the same period. Well, it's time to listen to another story that we've been sort of following the installments of for a very long time. Prince Matthews Thomas has reported that all may not be well in the partnership between Jet Airways Employees Consortium and Adigro, which had joined together last month to bid for the airline. Sources have told Money Control that while the two sides differ on funding, Adigro is also apprehensive about seeing a timely resolution via the insolvency process. This setback comes even as the August 3rd deadline to submit bids for Jet Airways looms large. Till now, the Jet Airways Employees Consortium and Adigro were the only suitors which had confirmed their interest in the airline. While Etihad Airways and Hinduja Group are expected to submit a bid, an official statement is yet to come through. One executive told Money Control, "It is over. For all practical purposes, the two sides differ over funding and there is little clarity on the source of funds." While reiterating that Adigro continues to be interested in the bidding, its founder Sanjay Vishwanathan said, and I quote, "We have asked the employee consortium to seek clarification from the resolution professional and committee of creditors to ensure the process is completed by the 20th of September if Adigro has to commit time, effort and money. Alternatively, we have offered them the freedom to partner with any other equity sponsor who's willing to overlook this risk of timely resolution." Jet Airways, as we know, has suspended operations since the 17th of April and has liabilities of about 25,000 crore rupees. Piramal Capital and Housing Finance, along with their strategic partners, is looking at a portfolio buyout worth $500 to $600 million in FY20 from NBFCs, this according to a report by the Economic Times. Piramal, along with CPPIB and Goldman Sachs, is looking to acquire the portfolios of NBFCs to the tune of $500 to $600 million. This, as reported by the Economic Times, we haven't been able to independently verify the story. The company, which is of course a subsidiary of Piramal Enterprises, is looking to acquire the portfolios of Divan Housing and Altico, according to this report. The sale of its investment in Shriram Transport Finance has created an additional liquidity pool that the company can leverage for M&As and portfolio buyout opportunities, said one source to the Economic Times. NBFCs are, of course, selling their portfolios or stakes in their companies after the liquidity crunch that has hit the sector since September 2018. Several media reports have also indicated that apart from Piramal, private equity firms like Cerberus Capital, Lone Star and Oaktree have also expressed interest in acquiring a stake in DHFL. CEO World has come out with the ranking of the world's most influential chief executives in 2019, and Mukesh Ambani, IOC chairman Sanjeev Singh and ONGC head Shashi Shankar are among the 10 Indian CEOs named in that ranking. ArcelorMittal chairman and CEO Lakshmi Mittal is the highest ranked Indian CEO, but the ranking lists his company as a Luxembourg-based firm. While Reliance chairman and managing director Ambani was ranked 49th on the Analyst Singh of IOC was ranked 69th. ONGC's Shashi Shankar was ranked 77th. Other Indian CEOs on the list included SBI Chairman Rajneesh Kumar, Tata Motors CEO Gunt Puchek, PPCL Chairman and Managing Director D. Raj Kumar, Rajesh Exports Executive Chairman Rajesh Mehta, TCS CEO Rajesh Gopinathan, and Wipro Chief Executive Abid Ali Nimuchwala. Oil Minister Dharmendra Pradhan also retweeted a link of the CEO ranking. Globally, who are the top rankers? Walmart CEO Douglas McMillan came first. He's followed by Royal Dutch Shell's Global Chief Executive Ben Van Burden, and then ArcelorMittal Chairman CEO Lakshmi Mittal. Saudi Aramco's CEO was ranked number 4. Bob Dudley of BP, that is British Petroleum, was 5th, ExxonMobil's Darren Woods 6th, Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess 7th, Toyota CEO Akio Toyoda was number 8, and among the top 10 most influential CEOs, 9th and 10th positions were held by some of the most famous people in the world. Apple CEO Tim Cook was 9th and Warren Buffett 10th. Missing the top 10 by one spot was Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Some other stories doing the rounds in the business world in the country. Payment security mechanism to induce discipline but may stretch DISCOM financials, said Crisil. Auto stocks have seen massive selling and they've tanked up to 6.5% today. Airtel has deployed digital network infrastructure for Uttar Pradesh. And Honda has recalled 5,088 units of various models to fix faulty Takata. RINL has conducted a trial production of 430 million steel rounds, and Department of Telecommunications has issued guidelines for 5G trials across all available spectrum. Justice A.K. Sikri has been appointed Ombudsman of the Indian Federation of Sports Gaming, and as I said earlier, Vodafone Idea shares have tanked 27%. ICICI Bank shares have gained over 3%, and market cap zooms to 8,926 crore rupees post quarter one. Turning to other news from across the country, let's start things off as usual these days with Karnataka. The BJP government, led by Yediyurappa, that is BS Yediyurappa with a spelling change, YEDI now, sailed through the trust vote in the Vidhan Sabha after an intense three-week struggle which saw 18 MLAs bring down the 14-month coalition government of the Congress and HD Kumaraswamy, and that is the JDS. Last evening, the last of the coalition's rebel MLAs were disqualified by Speaker Ramesh Kumar, who resigned after the trust vote. Yediyurappa said he would not indulge in politics of vengeance as he believed in the forgive and forget principle. The Congress and the JDS have accused the BJP of horse trading, an allegation that the BJP has denied. Ahead of the trust vote, Yediyurappa, who is becoming chief minister for the fourth time, said he was given the chance to be back in this seat for a special reason. He said, and I quote, "If you think that we took a decision that will affect the people in a bad way, you can reach out to us," unquote. The 76-year-old had started the day with prayers at a temple in Bangalore. Speaker Ramesh Kumar said before he resigned, and I quote, "Sometimes we've had to take some harsh decisions. We are small people. We should try and not disrespect the chair that we sit on. People come and go. Chief ministers come and go. Be good and do good." What did Kumaraswamy say? Well, he said, and I quote, "All that has happened with the rebels, with power, all this will go down in history. The rebels have been brought to the streets. They had special flight last time. This time I hear they're getting normal flights," unquote. Mr. Yediyurappa's one-line motion, which said that the House expresses confidence in the ministry headed by him, was passed with a voice vote. He said the administrative machinery had collapsed and his priority was to bring it back on track. Last evening, Speaker Ramesh Kumar had disqualified 11 MLAs of the Congress and 3 from the JDS. The move brought down the strength of the House to 208. The majority mark was placed at 105, which was a number within the BJP's reach. At the end of the day, the first test of strength took place last week, as we know, after 13 MLAs of the Congress and 3 from JDS resigned and 2 independent lawmakers who were supporting the government switched sides earlier this month. The coalition could scrape up only 99 votes against the BJP's 105. A murder case has been filed against BJP legislator Kuldeep Sengar after yesterday's accident in Raebareli, in which 2 women died and a teenager he allegedly raped 2 years ago, got injured and is in a critical condition. The teen's mother said the accident was meant to eliminate her daughter and that Kuldeep Sengar was plotting against them from jail. One of the two deceased aunts of the girl was a witness in the rape case. The police had said initial investigations indicated that it was an accident. The girl was not accompanied by the security personnel assigned to her and the truck that hit the car had its number plates scrubbed with black paint. More politics news. Congress MP Shashi Tharoor has sounded a warning to his party, saying there is growing unhappiness within the party and it could lead to more MPs and MLAs leaving the party if the leadership issue is not sorted out soon. Speaking to NDTV, Tharoor said he has supported the Punjab Chief Minister Amrinder Singh's call for Priyanka Gandhi to take over, but that she too should be elected and not selected. It has been more than 2 months since Rahul Gandhi resigned as the Congress president, but there has been no sign of any decision on who would succeed him. But the Congress, which has of course been led by some member or the other of the Nehru-Gandhi family for most of its 135-year history, has been unable to take a step towards zeroing in on a successor. Gandhi, that is Rahul, had made it clear that the party would have to look for a non-Gandhi leader and that his sister has already turned down the job. Give me a call. That is the new campaign that Mamata Banerjee has launched in Kolkata to give her 21-year-old party, the Trinamool Congress, a makeover. Didi Ke Bolo, that is Tell Didi, is her new calling card, which actually has a cell phone number where you can dial in if you want. There is also a website of the same name where you can leave your thoughts and Didi will get back to you. And that is her promise. So is Trinamool going corporate? That is a question NDTV is asking, or Monodeepa Banerjee specifically. Trinamool Inc., it is what Monodeepa wonders, not corporate, but modern, according to Mamata Banerjee. That is the answer for whether or not Trinamool is going corporate. But she did refuse to answer the most obvious question of all, which, and in fact took offense when it was asked, what is the role of Prashant Kishore, who is the pro-poll strategist in the new look grassroots party? She did not want to answer that question. A fairly emotional scene unfolded in the Rajya Sabha. The chairman of the Rajya Sabha, Vice President Venkaiah Naidu, had an emotional moment as he remembered his old friend and veteran Congress leader Jaipal Reddy, who died on Sunday. Naidu was reading out a formal obituary in the upper house when he broke down. Jaipal Reddy, a former union minister, died at a hospital in Hyderabad in the early hours of Sunday. He was 77 years old. Calling him an outstanding orator and able administrator, Naidu said he had worked with Reddy for 2 terms in the Andhra Pradesh Assembly in the 70s. Naidu remembered his days in the Assembly as a legislator when he shared a bench with Jaipal Reddy. The two leaders used to discuss various issues over breakfast just before Assembly proceedings began. Naidu said, and I quote, "Both of us used to sit on the same bench. We used to effectively argue the people's cause in our own way. I'm sorry I cannot control my emotions because of 40 years of personal association," unquote. In some cricket news, Virat Kohli, while addressing a pre-departure press conference ahead of the West Indies tour, has dismissed all the rumours of a rift in Team India after the World Cup 2019. He said, and I quote, "If the team atmosphere wouldn't have been good, then we wouldn't have succeeded. Come and see how we talk to Kuldeep Yadav, how we respect our seniors like MS Dhoni. I will tell you something, if I don't like a person, you will see it on my face. I've always praised Rohit Sharma. It's baffling. Don't know who has benefited with all these rumours," Virat Kohli said in a press conference. And there has been growing pressure indeed even on the captainhood or captaincy of Virat Kohli, with I think Sunil Gavaskar questioning Virat Kohli's position as skipper post-World Cup. Well, I bring you mostly sad news, but this is news to rejoice. The latest National Tiger Census has said that India has 2,967 tigers, almost twice the number that was counted in 2008, with a new scientific methodology created by the Wildlife Institute of India. At the first scientific national census in 2006, alarm bells were ringing because the tiger numbers were at 1,411. And now it is almost twice at 2,967. As usual, let's turn to financial markets elsewhere. Now that India news are done, US stock futures are drifting ahead of the Fed's 2-day July meeting, which begins tomorrow. Central bankers are expected to cut interest rates. Meanwhile, former Fed Chair Janet Yellen has said she supports a 0.25% rate cut. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ are coming off record closes on Friday, and all the major averages posted weekly gains last week for the third time in 4 weeks. With 3 trading days left in the month, the Dow, S&P 500 and NASDAQ are all on track to post positive July numbers for the 5th year in a row. It's a busy day and week as far as corporate earnings are concerned. Apple will be announcing their numbers tomorrow, but today it's a rather slow start. Dish Network and Beyond Meat and Texas Roadhouse will be announcing their results after the bell. And Beyond Meat is sizzling recently. Let's find out why, because this is that company which makes meat out of vegetarian products, and it had its IPO recently. There were all sorts of doubts initially that the company might not be doing well, but it has proven several people wrong. This plant-based meat company saw its shares reach a record high last week, and its second quarter earnings could beat expectations. After a highly successful IPO earlier this year, the company is set to battle increased competition from other vegetarian-friendly offerings. What else are we expecting? Shares of generic drug maker Mylan were surging about 25% in pre-market as Pfizer has reached a deal to combine its off-patent drug business with Mylan. The combined company would sell Mylan's EpiPen and Pfizer's Viagra, and it would be domiciled in the United States. U.S.-China trade war update now. They'll face off in Shanghai, U.S. and China, that is, this week in another attempt to piece together a trade accord amid much lowered expectations for the kind of sweeping deal that appeared within reach just earlier this spring. Wall Street Journal has reported that people close to the talks said a major breakthrough is likely not. Unlikely is what I meant, because, you know, we've been doing this for a year now. Beijing has said China is stepping up U.S. soy imports, but is yet to show up in U.S. data. This according to a report by Reuters. And what's happening in Trump world? A U.S. judge is hearing arguments today in Donald Trump's lawsuit seeking to block a House committee from obtaining his New York state tax returns. Traditionally, U.S. presidential candidates have always released their federal tax returns on the campaign trail, but Trump has repeatedly refused to do so because they're very complex audits. They're very complex numbers. You wouldn't believe the kind of business I have, okay? They're all complex. That's why he hasn't released them. Jesus. Dan Coats, who is the director of National Intelligence, is the latest casualty in the Trump exodus, if you will. He'll be stepping down in mid-August. Trump announced this over Twitter. He's obviously been at loggerheads with Trump over the handling of Russia and North Korea. Trump said he will nominate Representative John Ratcliffe of Texas to replace Dan Coats. Donald Trump did more racism, as I'm sure you've heard. He sent some incendiary tweets about Elijah Cummings, who is a House Minority Chief, a black congressman, and he's called this black man himself a racist. Trump called Cummings' majority black Baltimore district as a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess where no human being would want to live. Ironically enough, Jared Kushner, his son-in-law and his advisor, owns a bunch of flats in Baltimore, and some of them were deemed unlivable, perhaps because of rats. Maybe he should start things off at home. This idea of calling someone disgusting and rat infested is obviously has historic racial tropes, and this is yet again a new attack on people of color, representatives of color, especially after Trump going after the squad of Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He has clearly not apologized for the first incident, and an apology for this incident is also unlikely in the coming. Gone are the days when people could be taken out of office for statements like this, but this has all been normalized thanks to Donald Trump. What's happening outside of the United States? The European Commission reportedly will be blocking five countries from accessing parts of the European Union's financial markets in a move that could hit the UK after it leaves the bloc. According to a report by CNBC, the decision will see the Commission removing certain market access rights from Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, and Singapore. Speaking of the UK, London Stock Exchange is in advanced talks to buy financial data provider Refinitiv, which is majority owned by the Blackstone Group, for $27 billion, including assumed debt. The deal, which will likely be announced this week, is expected to face a long antitrust review before it can close. In some sad news coming out of where I am, Northern California's popular Gilroy Garlic Festival had an attacker. A gunman killed three and wounded at least 15 people before police fatally shot him as terrified people and performers ran for cover. Police are still searching for a potential second suspect. Representatives from over 30 countries are meeting to discuss sustainable growth and environmental issues across Southeast Asia at the 52nd Foreign Ministers meeting today through Saturday. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov arrive at the event tomorrow. Meanwhile, Boris Johnson has gone to Scotland. The newly installed Prime Minister, about whom John Oliver did the best piece ever, I recommend that you watch it to get a sense of who Boris Johnson is. Everybody thinks he's like Donald Trump, except there's a crucial difference. Boris Johnson is not an idiot. He just knows the art of manipulation way better than Donald Trump does. It also helps that he has a degree from Balliol College in the University of Oxford in classics. He is a clever boy, but uses his cleverness for all the wrong reasons. That's it. He's heading north now to Scotland to try and improve ties with a part of the UK that voted to remain in the EU in 2016. While Johnson has committed to preparing for a no-deal Brexit by the end of October, the Conservative Party's Scottish leader, Ruth Davidson, is against crashing out without a deal. So what will happen in the coming months in the UK with the Donald Trump of the UK, the Lord of Bad Haircuts, will be interesting to see. In other news, demonstrators have been calling for fair elections in Moscow and for independent candidates to be able to run for city council. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny was hospitalized after suffering an acute allergic reaction, with one doctor saying he may have been poisoned. Moscow police arrested over 1,300 protesters. More protests from another part of the world. China has responded to the civil unrest in Hong Kong. Its representative office backed the government and the police in a rare press conference following weeks of protests that I've been speaking about for a long time over the extradition bill as well as police brutality. Police fired huge amounts of tear gas to disperse an unauthorized protest yesterday in the financial district. All right, that's pretty much all the pieces of news that I thought interesting enough to share with you. But to end the podcast as usual, some other offbeat pieces of news. Young people are doing well. A college student found a skull of an animal. Turns out it was a 65 million year old Triceratops skull. The funny thing is, he had been rejected for a museum internship shortly before making the find in North Dakota. Another young person has snagged a $3 million Fortnite prize. The 10-week competition involving 40 million players worldwide saw winners walk away with $30 million in prize money, and a teenager had his bank account swelling by about $3 million. What have you been doing over the weekend? Not much. Some good news coming out of Africa. 200 million saplings will be planted today as part of a reforestation drive in Ethiopia, which aims to break a tree planting record. And speaking of Ethiopia and Africa, you've seen a lot of your friends go to Masai Mara and Kruger and post all those wonderful photographs, and you think, okay, don't show off. But you know what? Those photographs are actually scientifically valuable. These crowdsourced pics have enabled researchers to make surprisingly accurate estimates of wildlife populations in these reserves. We spoke a few days ago about wife carrying competitions, which happen every year, and there's a world championship for it. And in a similar vein, there is a world thumb wrestling championship. A son and his mother-in-law won the men and women's titles in the annual event. If it was like a tutu meme joke, it would have been that the two of them had enough practice at home. Speaking of amusing news, as I'm sure you've heard by now, Prime Minister Modi is going to be on an episode of Bear Grylls' TV show, Man vs. Wild. Look out, 12th of August. Before I let you go, let's take a quick look at what happened on Dalal Street today. At the end of the day, the BSE Sensex fell 196 points to 37,686. Nifty 50 closed 95 points lower at 11,189. Auto stocks hit majorly today. Well, that's it. All the big pieces of news that I thought important and amusing, and or important and amusing, both. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, this is me signing off, saying stay logged on to moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.